Yeah, so so interesting, Rashi Menachos, about it's relevant to the question of being a shmashis that we were talking about. The question is, how long does something have to be on? How long does something have to be muksa during being a shmashis for it to be muksa for the whole Shabbos? Right. That was the question we were trying to resolve. And the problem was. The problem we had was the lashon of the Rashi and the Gemara, right? Basically, the Gemara is Mem Gimel in Shabbos, and a Rashi on Mem Dalel on the days, I believe. Right? The Gemara says. Ba'odin olav kol bein hashmashos, right? That implies the entire time. That implies the entire time, right? But Rashi said, Misha Hichshich is not, which implies you have to wait, which implies if you took it off earlier, it would still be Muktzah. Even though if you took it off earlier, it wouldn't have been on the entire Ben Hashmashos. Anybody listening at all?
Yeah.
That's Shabbos Mem Gimel, right? And then the other one was Rashi says Mem Dalel Mem Beis, same thing. Shlo haya oleha kol ben hashmashos. It wasn't on it for the entire ben hashmashos. He says why? Because it was taken off before Shabbos started. But even if it was taken off after Shabbos started, it wouldn't be on the entire ben hashmashos, right? So we didn't really we sort of concluded that. The Lashonah seemed contradictory, but what did we come out? But any amount of banished mushrooms is a problem. So it's interesting, Gemara Menachos says like this, question of, when you bring a mincha, so you take the flour, and you put it into a kli, and on top of the flour, you take a kamitza of a handful of Lavona. Put it on top of the solus in the kli. And then you push to the side and you take a kmitza only of the solus. And you machter that on the mizbeach. So the machlokas, what if you lose some of your lavona after you would take the kmitza from the solus? Right? You take the kmitza from the solus and there's a full kamitza of Lavona. Don't get confused with the two kamitzas. You put a handful of Lavona in the solas, on top of the solas. And then you take a kamitza of solas, and that's your carbon. That's what you mark for the mizbeach. Okay? So the question is, what if after you take the kamitza of the solas, you lose some of the Lavona, whatever, it gets lost, it falls on the floor and gets destroyed, whatever it is. Do you still bring the, you still makriv of the komets of the solas, okay? So it's a three-way machlokas. But Rabbi Yehuda holds, as long as you have two kernels of Lavona, you still do it. And Rabbi Shimon says, as long as you have one kernel of Lavona, you still do it. And they darshan it from this pasuk. V'es kol ha-lavona asher al ha-mincha. And all of the lavona that's on the mincha. Kol ha-lavona asher al ha-mincha. So Rashi says, dikol mashma kol shehu. The word kol implies any amount. So that's the answer to our stira. Rashi's learning kol ben hashmashos means a kol shehu ben hashmashos.
Wouldn't that be just in that case?
Not saying
kol.
Yeah,
he's
every kol.
No, that's what he means. Yeah, he says that.
Any time that word is used.
Dekol mashma filu koreit echad. Dekol mashma kol shehu. Kamo ein l'shif chasecha kol babayas. That's the Navi from a couple of weeks ago. Rashi came to the Navi, said, Your shifra doesn't have kol babayis. Doesn't have what?
Anything
in the house.
It doesn't mean that every single time I use the word kol ever, it's going to mean anything.
But it can mean that. That's all I need to know. That's what we tried to say. I mean, we said kol banish rushes means any part of banish rushes. We said it means any part of the banish rushes, as opposed to thinking it has to be in a specific. Anyway.
How did you find that and apply that?
Well, the applying was easy. The finding was lucky. I just happened to be learning Menachos and Bekias. See? Bekias is important.
It's all just a play group.
No, in your defense, it's Machlokas and Tanayim. I didn't want to mention that to you because it's not good for my case. But Reb Meir seems to hold like you guys hold. The Kol means all the Levono. But anyway. So let's go back to Mem Hei. Right, we're going to skip ahead to Mem Hei now. Next case.
There's no Rishon that discusses this question?
Oddly enough, I could not find anything. The only two things I only found three things. I found Shlomo Zalman mentions the Prima Gadim, which I told you himself ends off not sure. Then there was the Lubavitcher Rebbe, better known as the Shulchan Aruch Harav. He said all of Banish Rushes, and Rav Moshe said any amount of Banish Rushes. But nobody seemed to have any. The one liner in the last chelik of. But nobody referred to any Rishon who said anything. Nobody referred to any. Let's take the okay. So Mem Hei Yom Aleph. Boy Minei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Reish Lakish asked the question of Rabbi Yochanan. Now you know it's got to be a good question, right? It's got to be a good question. Can't be like. Like a basic, simple question that we'd all know the answer to immediately regarding Rabbi Shimon's Shita. Right? You got to assume he already knows the basic cases. Right? Got to assume he knows the basic cases. So what was his question? Go ahead. Who's reading today? Go ahead. So you take wheat and what? You plant them in the ground. Yeah. Rashi. Alright, so you put them in the ground and they didn't take root yet, because if they took root, then there'd be an Isser Malacha to take them out. Right? And the other Rishonim say they're not totally covered in dirt. So you can still like access them. Otherwise Isser to move the dirt. Okay, and the eggs that you did what to? You put them under the chicken. So in other words, you're saying that you want them to be chicks, right? You want them to turn into chicks.
Incubating.
You're incubating them. Okay. So mahu. Mahu. Go ahead. So, do we say that when did Rabbi Shimon not hold from Mukta? So he knows that already. Rabbi Shimon did not hold from Mukta. Rashi adds in an interesting word, right? Oh, no, that's on the answer. I'm sorry. Do we say that what? That when did Rabbi Shimon not hold from Mukta? That's where you don't push it out with your hands. What does he mean by pushing it away with your hands? Like what? Heichad lo dochi b'yadayim. Like what? Yeah, what's his exam? I mean, what does he know? He knows something. Ner, but Ner is a Dechiyah B'yadayim. Right? Machmas Mias, that's true. Or what? The case I always reference, we haven't learned it yet, but I always refer to that case. What? No. The Peres L'Schorah, right? That's always a good one to remember. peiros l'schor? Is that a techiyah b'yadayim? Why is that a techiyah b'yadayim? No, apparently it's not. They're there, and you just have in mind that you're going to use them for business. That's a good question. That's a good question. Let's leave that question on the side for right now. Okay, go ahead. Oh, Doma Loshna. Or it doesn't matter. So what is this question exactly? Right, let's just see the answer. Go ahead. Quickly see the answer, then we'll come back. Now the right gear so should be a second vav, another vav. Two vavs. Right. Yeah. I know Rashi doesn't have it in Hadith and Maskel, but it means two things. It means a double thing. Right, that's the Gemara's whole question. I didn't tell you to go further, but that's the Gemara's whole question. Why do you need two things? Yeah, so what does Rashi say over here? Ein muktzel Rabbi Shimon bedavar haroi. See, it's very interesting how he has that in. Right, bedavar haroi. What does he mean, bedavar haroi? Right. Ela shemen shebener b'sha'a shudole k'detanya le'el. Ho'o v'hoksa le'mitzvaso. What's the mitzvah?
Shabbos.
And it hooks it to its iser. What's the iser? Kiboy. Okay, but anyway, let's go back to focus on the question. So, but what I just wanted to show you that the way Rashi's learning, the whole question is only on a dover that's roy. That was his question. It's a dover roy, right? He knows that Rabbi Shimon holds like grogos and smukim is muksa. That's not his question. His question is what? That since we know, now he gives you a little bit more of his question. Since we know that Rabbi Shimon holds what? That all you need is chazi, right? All you need is a thing to be roy. His question is, what if it is really roy, but you sort of are negating it, be a dime? You're doing something negating it, be a dime. Right? That's the nature, something along those lines, the nature of his question. When we say that Rabbi Shimon, or lo shna means what? There's no difference. All we do, all we care about is it all Rabbi Shimon cares about is whether it is in fact roi or not. Yeah. But let's go back to the question. What does he mean by a dechia biyodayim? What does he mean by a dechia biyodayim? And why don't we have cases already that answer this? I mean, when I first looked at this case, the case that was bothering me was the Kosos and and the Cairo and the Ashashas. There you see, it's a Dechiyah B'Yadayim. I mean, of course he holds from Dechiyah B'Yadayim. Right? By the way, when Rabbi Yochanan answers the question, what's his answer? Let's understand it precisely. What is his answer? But which case? Exactly which case is he referring to? He's talking about the shemen that comes out of the nair when? While it is still burning. He's not talking about karos and ashashas, right? He's saying the only time Rabbi Shimon holds from mukta is while the nair is actually burning. Right? So then Tosfos bothered, well, of course, you don't need muksa for the oil that's in the nair that's actually burning, so they have to learn it means the nair that comes out while it's burning, right? But in other words, he says he's negating the idea of a muksa that, he's not referring to the coast, to the nairos. The regular din of nair is after it's out, right?
Doesn't he have
muksa there too? I mean... Doesn't he hold his muktzah? Doesn't he hold the karos and the kosos and the ashoshes is muktzah even after it goes out? Right? So, it's not true. He does have a muktzah. He has another muktzah. He has a case of the karos, the kosos, and the ashoshes. Right? Alright, so the Tosus talks about the nair case, right? But the Rashba mentions the Nair and the Kosos. Nice. So what is Tosos saying? He says what? Why, it's interesting. Why is he bothered with the Nair? Afalgav the Nair. In other words, he's bothered. Why didn't why what? Why isn't the Nair considered also a case of Dechia Biyodayim? Why is Nair Dechia Biyodayim? Why is Nair Dechia Biyodayim? Because you're right. Let's understand this carefully. Now, as you're taking Shemen, which in theory is usable, right? Shemen itself is a substance that is roy, right? And what are you doing to it, though? You're pushing it, or the well, it's not just the shemen, though, right? It's also the nair. Taking a nair that's really roy, right? And you're putting it into a situation specifically that's removed from Shabbos. So why didn't that inform Rabbi Reish Lakish that Rabbi Shimon doesn't care about the Chiyuv Yadayim? In other words, if Reish Lakish's question simply is, does Rabbi Shimon hold that you can define things by your action, right? In other words, I can remove something by with my action of defining it as something that is not Shaykh to Shabbos. So I see already from Nair, he doesn't care about that kind of thing. As long as intrinsically it's Roy, it doesn't matter that when Shabbos starts, I negate it. It doesn't matter that when Shabbos starts, I remove it from use. As long as it's still usable, that's all that matters. So why isn't that just the same question? What's the difference between the chitim and the nair? That's what Tosafot wants to know. They do have something in common, right? That you're putting but also, what is the dechiyah by the chitim? Can we understand that also? What is the dechiyah by the chitim? Well, let's see. Go ahead. Yes, so what's the answer?
The dichoy by the nair is undone.
Because when you can use the nair, that's when it's out of its dichoy. That's not the dichoy. So what's the dichoy? No, the dichoy is not a question of putting it into a certain situation when Shabbos begins. That's not the dichoy that Reish Lakish is asking about. That's the Dabar Pashut. We know that Rabbi Shimon does not care about the way it actually is when Shabbos starts. So what's the dichoy that Reish Lakish is asking about? The state that the object is in. Correct. A state that the object is in. In other words, when the object is dochoy, when you take an object and you put it into a situation of dichoy, does that dichoy have any effect? But what's the dichoy here? Let's understand the dichoy.
Which case?
Of this rhyme, yeah.
You want to go over to a plant. You don't want to create.
That's correct. So what kind of a dichoy is it? In other words, it's not an isser. There's no isser involved, right? It's just a statement about the thing. But it's more than peiros l'schara. It's more than just a statement. It's actually a maisa that puts them in a totally different, that gives them a certain character, right? No, it is an action. Well, you take the eggs and you put it under the chicken. So it's not just a thought. It's not just a thought, right? It's what? It's actually a maisa. I'm not defining the question exactly. I'm just trying to separate the case to see why this case is presented a question to Reish Lakish, right? So what is the case? Yeah, and then the Rashba explains. So why don't you say that it's like the kos, where I put it in, where at the beginning of Shabbos, I in my mind when I take these chitim and I put them in the ground, in my mind they're going to be removed from Shabbos for the whole Shabbos. Not like the ner. The ner I know is going to be usable later, but over here in my mind when I start Shabbos, I'm removing them from any usage. I'm doing something that removes them from usage. So what's the answer? What is the Rashba's answer? That's right. That over here, it's true I'm putting them into a situation that would negate them from use. But what? No, the chitim.
Oh.
The chitim. But what?
That's really the whole question. Whether or not that's going to be by any other means or not.
But I could always change my mind. In other words, the kos and the ka'ara didn't help Reish Lakish. Because that's a case where I'm putting it into a situation that's foregone. Right? I'm putting the nair and the shemen into a situation when Shabbos starts that in my mind will be inaccessible, halachically inaccessible for the whole Shabbos. So that's definitely, that's not just a dichli b'yadayim, that is an actuality of dichli. You understand? We're trying to bring this case down to a refined point over here. The kos and the ka'ara doesn't offer an explanation for Reish Lakish. Right? Because that's not what he means by a dichli b'yadayim. That's a real dichoy. That's in fact, you're taking usable material and you're putting it in a situation where it may not be used for the entire Shabbos. So that's definitely a siluk. That's definitely a removal from Tashmish for the whole Yom. Doesn't matter if a chance occurs and the light blows out. When Shabbos started, in my das, I was makzit legamri. Why? Because I put it into a situation that I anticipated would last for the entire Shabbos, and that was a situation of Isser. But the Rashi was explaining what's unique about this situation is that I put them into a certain categorical state. Right? I put them into the category of zroim, of chitim for planting. Now chitim for planting are not chitim for eating. Right? And they will remain, like Tosfos explains, they will remain in that situation for the entire Shabbos. It's not like the ner that I anticipate will resolve itself later into a useful object. In my mind, I'm taking chitim, right? And I'm not just thinking about them either. I'm actually taking them and with my action, I'm putting them in a situation that defines them as zra'im, correct? Which negates their tashmish of ochel. And I anticipate that state will last. There's nothing that's going to change about that state, right? But at the same time, what? There's nothing that prevents me from changing my own mind. You understand? Just to get the case, it's a brilliant case. Case is a really interesting question. It's a very sophisticated case. Because he wants to have a case where they exist, actually exist, as a different kind of an entity, right? Where I relate to them from the beginning of Shabbos in an actual way, not just in my mind, but in an actual way, as not ochel, right? But there's nothing preventing me from changing my mind. There's nothing that prevents me from changing my mind. If I couldn't change my mind, then they would in actuality not be ochel. And if they would be usable later, then there would never be a full dechia, right? Here, it's a full dechia. The situation I'm putting them into is a full dechia. But since this, the very definition is still up to me, ultimately, I still have control. You understand? That's the uniqueness of this case. That's Reish Lakish was not asking a simple question of Rabbi Yochanan. From changing my mind. So right? Let me hear the Rashba. Read the Rashba on the Kos and the Kara. Got that part? Right, so if you're going to say, if they're always B'duchuyan, so they should be like Kos and Kara. Right, so Kos and Kara is a real full Duchuyah, because you don't have the ability to pull them back from the state you put them into. You can't. That's right. You can't extinguish the nair. It's not in your control anymore to extinguish that nair. Right. So okay. The Rashi says it a little differently. That what? That you put it into the situation of where it's burning, and while it's in that situation of burning, you cannot move it, and you anticipate it to continue burning. But over here, what? Over here, what? You could still move it. Yes, so what does he mean? Of al hocha the efshel atautlo, afa gav the karbi the chiyu of kama, don rabishim mishvashari. Right, isn't that the question, if you can move it or not? But he means to say there's no issa. That's what he means. He means in theory, you're not resigning it to a situation that on its own terms has an issa of tiltal. It's only going to, the situation you're putting it into, as long as it's in it, it's out of your shus. But you still have control over that overall idea. There's no Isser Shabbos that prevents you from taking it out of the ground. Right, you're not putting it into a situation that by definition removes your ability to access it. That would be a dechiyah legamri. Over here, you're putting it into a situation whose shame is mufka from Oakland, but not that. So it's only a question of will the shame hadavar create a muktza, not the iser tiltal. The iser tiltal doesn't mean muktza. Iser tiltal means iser shabbos. No, it's a question of, since I can undo the dichoy, does that mean that it's considered chazile and it's not mukta? But now let's define the question a little better. Now, I mean, that's the case. What's his chakira in Reish Lakish, in Rabbi Shimon? Right, now the situation, by Kos and Kara, the situation I'm putting it into has its own terms that are going to prevent me from moving it. Lighting the fire on the Kos and the Ka'ara creates an Isser Tiltal. Not from Mukta, because it's a busus, or because you might go out, whatever it is, however you want to learn. That's a reality. It's actually, in reality, usher to move. So in other words, what did I do, according to Rabbi Shimon? I took a perfectly usable object, and I put it into a situation where it has no use at all, no potential use at all. It's not chazi for anything on Shabbos. Why is it not chazi for anything on Shabbos? Because I anticipate it's going to burn for the entire day, right? And when it's burning, the situation of burning prevents me from moving it at all. I can't even use it to cover something. I can't do anything with it. It's completely useless while it's burning. So that is maktza midaite legamri. I'm putting it into a category of zero utility. Okay? But the chitim the trick is like this. By the chitim, what makes them have zero utility? My definition of them as for zaria. You understand? In my mind, chitim that are growing in the ground, well, let's put it this way. Definitively, chitim that are growing in the ground, right, meaning to say, designated for sprouting, have no other use. Right? So as long as they're definitively for sprouting, or an egg that's definitively for a chick, that category of existence is not a category that has any other usages in my, to me. I don't say, I can do two things. I can grow them and, you know, use them as food. I can't. I can grow them and I can use them as decorations. I can't. Once I decide to grow them, I've taken them completely out of the realm of any tashmish that I have. Right? But here's the trick. Can I take them out of the ground if I want to? Who is there someone forcing me that if I put them in the ground, I cannot remove them? No, nobody's doing that. Nobody prevents me from taking my chitim that I put in the ground and saying, you know what, I changed my mind. Or you know what, I'm really hungry. I'd rather have chitim than wait another 6 months and have, I'd rather have chitim now than a bushel of chitim later.
If they're monks, you can't. Like, why didn't you say that?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
Because Rabbi Shimon...
So you could change the
deal. No, that's a question. Can you change it to here? I mean,
in theory, you can. For sure, in theory, you can. There's nothing in Hilchos Shabbos, there's nothing in Melechas Shabbos, there's nothing objective that says I can't change the dichoy. Right? So in that sense, is it chazi to me? No, it's Rabbi Shimon wants to know is, this is the tzad that says they're not mukta. All Rabbi Shimon wants to know is, are they ro'oi for you on Shabbos? Okay? Now these chitim in the ground, are they ro'oi for you on Shabbos? And Rabbi Shimon will only say they're mukta if they're not ro'oi for you on Shabbos. If they're in the ground, who cares if they're mukta? No, let's say a chicken came and pecked them out of the ground. And now they're not in the ground. So now according to Rabbi Shimon, you want to know, they're not in their dichoy anymore. Can I use them? Right?
Right, so you're saying everyone agrees that you could change that you could change them and make them not dichoy. The question is that going to be relevant?
Exactly. The question is that relevant? Or does Rabbi Shimon say, I don't want to define it for you right now, but that's what's his question. Why would he? The tzad that says it's mutter, it says that all Rabbi Shimon needs is something to be fit for your use on Shabbos. In terms of Hilchos Shabbos, is it usable to you? So I'll say yes. Does Shabbos prevent me from plucking the chitim out of the ground? Does Shabbos prevent me from taking the egg if the chicken hops off for a second? No. So did I put it into a situation that is not roi for Shabbos? No. Right? I put it in a situation where Hilchos Shabbos allows me to access them. And when Shabbos started, they were roi. Right? Oh, you thought that they weren't roi? You thought you were going to grow them? So what? That's just what you thought. Does that make them not roi? No. Why? Because you thought that and you could change your mind. So it's all you. It's all in your rishus. It's only not roi if I take them and I put them in a situation where I think I'm not going to have any ability to determine what they should be anymore. But I didn't write away my rights over here. There's still my chitim in the ground. There's still roi for me for whatever I want. At this moment, I happen to think the best use of these chitim is to grow them. But tomorrow, I might feel the best use is something else. There's still part of my rishus. So they're still roi to me. That's the odol maloshna side. Right? And Rabbi Yochanan said, you're odol maloshna, basically. He said, you're right. As long as they're roi, that's the only thing that matters. But what's the tzad to say that this case would be different?
Just the first one,
right? Yeah.
Right. Whereas...
No, just to clarify the chilik Tosis is making. When I put the ner, when I'm docha the ner biyadayim, It's not a permanent, it's not a dechiyah of permanence. But the chitim is a dechiyah of permanence. How can I say that? I just said you can change your mind.
Well, it will be permanent if you ever
the nature of the thing I'm putting it into has a permanent nature. I could change my mind about doing that. But the nature of the dechiyah of the ner is not permanent. Now, that's what Tosis is trying to explain. The track that I'm putting the chitim into is a permanent track. It's a track that terminates with no usage from the zroim at all. Whereas the track of the ner has usage at the end, right? So that's what Tosis first trying to explain. When he's talking about a dechiyah, he only means a dechiyah where the situation on its own terms left to be mekayim, what I'm putting it into, would remove all usage. But the Rashba says, but at the same time, we know there's nothing really preventing him from taking it off of the track. When the nair is done and it's over, it's not off the track, it's at the end of the track, right? To use the chitim, you'd have to take them off the track. But the track itself has no usage. That's the full dechiyah of the chitim. Let's compare it to the peros, the schor for a second. Now, the peros of schor are just bushels of apples sitting in your garage. So there's nothing about them objectively from their circumstances that make them any different from just food. It's just I have in mind, I have a plan for them. I have a plan, I'm going to do something, right? So that Rabbi Yehuda holds is muksa. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't care about that. Because he says the apples are apples. Are they apples? They're apples. Are they edible? They're edible. Right? So what would be different over here? So over here, objectively, in terms of their circumstances, they are different. Right? They're involved in a different, they actually are involved in a different process. There is an objective change over here. Right? Peros the schora are just peros. I can either, it's just, peros the schora is a question of what will I do with them next. Right? But right now, they're not involved in anything. Right now, they're just ready for anything. I have a plan. Okay? But the chitim, shazar and bekarka, they are actually in the situation of growing. Which is not, something has already been done to them. It's not just I'm planning on doing something to them. I actually did something to them that changed their character, because I've actually entered them into the process. Right? And the process, memela, will continue. Right? So there is an objective reality over here. There is a change, right? There is a change. In terms of definition, there is a real change. In terms of definition, there's a real change. But what? But that whole definition is still capable of being retracted. Right? It's not like an apple that I sold already. Can't retract that. But that doesn't have anything to do with Shabbos. With Muktzah, I'm just saying. Certain things you can't undo. But this you could still undo. So Chaim, did I get you off track now? I'm trying to get you off track. No, so Rish Lakish wants to know like this, that what is the limit, or he's pushing the limits of Rabbi Shimon, right? He wants trying to push the limit of Rabbi Shimon. What is the key factor in Rabbi Shimon? He's really trying to purify, you know, he's trying to isolate the key factor for Rabbi Shimon. It was, what's the problem with the Peros HaSchora? Is the problem that it's just Dvarim, but there's no real definitive, there's no real shame in the Cheftza? No, the Peros. Everyone knows the Peros is good. Right? No, is it that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda really are somewhat closer together than we think? In other words, both of them really judge by a shame in the Cheftza. That there has to be mukhan from the Cheftza, from the tzad of the Cheftza. So from the tzad of the Cheftza, but the problem is Rabbi Yehuda allows a designation to be toe-face in terms of even how I relate to my Cheftza is enough. And Rabbi Shimon requires a real change in the object, requires an objective. In other words, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are both going from the tzad of the Cheftza, but Rabbi Yehuda holds it goes from how you feel about the Cheftza, how you relate to the Cheftza. So even if in my mind I'm planning on selling them, that is enough in terms of the, that is a din in the readiness of the Cheftza, right? And Rabbi Shimon says that doesn't matter. It has to go from the, we have to go from the state of the Cheftza objectively itself. As long as the fruit is sitting in the garage, in terms of the determination from the tzad of the Cheftza itself, there's no difference between this and anything else that's chazi. Aye, but if they're bekarka, then from the tzad of the Cheftza, now there is a real haktza. Now I've given the Cheftza a real determination of another activity. Right? Or does Rabbi Shimon not care at all about the din in the Cheftza? He just cares about what? Roy. All he cares about is what? In terms of the Gavra, does it have any utility? That's all he cares about. Let's think about it a little more. It's a deep question.
Do you think Rabbi Shalakish is bringing Ruham into this? I mean, isn't there a way of looking at this question? Even if you're sticking with the Rabbi Shimon rules just by Roy, you could say that he holds that it's.
Yeah, but is it right? In other words, is it Roy? But Roy mitzad hachefza or Roy mitzad hagavra, right? In other words, right? And that's what I'm trying to get down to. When we say Roy, what does it mean by Roy? Does it mean
the underlying potential that's contained in the chefza, or is it in terms of the designation that you gave it? Right.
Correct. He's flipped it around, though. You flipped it around.
I thought you were saying...
I was saying, but he's better. He's better, I think, right? Saying Roy Mitzad HaChefza means objectively whatever it's capable of. So the chitim in the ground are still capable of being eaten. Right? Even the Gabi Shabbos. Because I can retrieve them. There's nothing... I'm not putting them in a situation that objectively deprives them of any... of any ability. No?
From both ways.
His way is better. But if you say Roy in terms of the Gavra, then since I objectively put them into a situation that defines them as not part of my Tashmish, that is that removes them from being Roy to the Gavra.
Why does Mitzad HaGavra need like an objective condition? Like, he should just go by whatever his, like it should be like the Peros also.
Because he's saying that in terms of the Gavra, it's going to go by his, what type of a Cheftza does he have? What type of a Cheftza does he have? So the Peros are just Peros. Of course, there's nothing objectively different about them. But Peros that are growing, but Chitin that are growing in the ground is objectively a different kind of a Chita. It's involved in a different process. It's true, though, that this process alone doesn't, in reality, remove it from any other tashrish. But while it's in the ground over here, it will always permanently have this shame. And I put it into that situation. I resigned it to a permanent shame. Right?
Isn't that a chafsa thing, though?
That's the well, okay.
What are you saying? You just reverse it, depending on Roy in terms of.
All right, let's see if we can refine it for tomorrow.
You can also just say.